This is Digital Dave. You're listening to EAA Radio, and on the phone with me is Mr. Tom Thatcher from, well, from a consulting agency, I believe. How you doing there, Tom?
Oh, very, very fine. Dave, how are you today?
I'm doing okay. Was I close at all on any of that information?
Yeah. Well, let me just tell you a little bit about myself. Dave, I'm in my late 50s, but I started flying back in the mid-70s, and I've held a commercial multi-engine instrument in CFI since the 1970s. Passion of my life has been aviation. My dad was a World War II aviator. After the war, he became a hot air balloon pilot, and in fact, he was an attorney by trade. And my dad said that there's nothing more appropriate in nature than an attorney standing under 70,000 cubic feet of hot air.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, my dad had a great sense of humor. Now, in New Jersey, when I started flying back in the mid-1970s, there were about 70 public use airports in New Jersey. Today, 2011, there are approximately 45.
That's way too fast a rate.
That is way high a loss rate. One of the particular reasons why New Jersey historically has had a particularly high loss rate is that New Jersey, unlike many other states, has a pretty high proportion of privately owned public use airports. And we're very concerned about our airports in general, and we're very concerned about the future of our privately owned public use airports. My concern for this led me to propose to the company that I work for, L.R. Kimball, to pursue a study being proposed by the National Academy of Sciences for evaluating and creating a guidebook for the preservation of public use airports. And that's a needed topic because some more numbers here. 1969, across the entire United States, about 6,700 public use airports. Today, the number is about 5,000. We've lost 1,700 airports, public use airports, almost all of them GA airports.
What?
And that's despite the population of the United States rising very significantly.
Now, what would you identify as the major factors of that, of these airports closing? I mean, obviously, there's the big one that comes to mind is real estate pressure.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's a good starting point because if you ask the sort of the normal general aviation person, what causes airports to close? The scenario that they're going to paint is this. They're going to say, well, we had an airport that was built sometime probably during World War II in our town. Our town grew up. Houses came close to the airport. New neighbors who moved in next to the airport start to complain. And all of a sudden, the airport closes. We, you know, that's sort of the stereotype formula for why general aviation airports close. But that's not really, that's one reason, but it's only one of, and our research found, of 16 reasons why public use airports close. As I mentioned before, the National Academy of Sciences proposed a research program for preserving public use airports, and the purpose of that research was to do two things. One, identify absolutely in detail why our general aviation and public use airports are closing, and two, identify those things specifically that airport advocates can do to help preserve public use airports. We had a two-year study. let me run some of the numbers here. We interviewed and polled over 480 persons. We analyzed the characteristics of 200 public use airports that have closed since 1997. We looked at 10 state airport system plans to look at their entire airport system and why airports were closing within those. We did numerous case studies of individual airports in very strong detail, and then looked at historical data for numbers of public use airports, licensed pilots, aircraft, flight time, and the like. And we found some interesting things. We found that closure of public use airports is not related at all to flight hours. It's not related at all to numbers of pilots. It's not related at all to the numbers of aircraft.
Well, that's definitely counterintuitive.
Yeah, it is, because over the years, we've charted this data out. For example, hours flown in general aviation peaked around 1980. And they've gone down a little bit since then. But before 1980, during 1980, and after 1980, we lost public use airports for general aviation at a steady decline. There was no relationship between how many hours were being flown and airports being lost. Likewise, total numbers of pilots, total numbers of aircraft, the numbers don't match up. But one thing that we did find, and that's that the numbers of privately owned public use airports have declined very, very substantially. And let me talk about that for a moment. In 1970, we had nationally about 2,800 privately owned public use airports. Today, the number is about 900.
Wow, that's not much.
That's that's two-thirds of the privately owned public use airports that were around in 1970 are gone. Now, the good news is this. The number of publicly owned public use airports has climbed slightly from about 3,800 in 1970 to a little over 4,000 today.
Well, I'm going to assume that's because private use airports are being sold to townships and other public entities.
Exactly. A small number of public use airports, privately owned, that close are getting purchased locally, but certainly not enough to keep up with the overall loss. And, you know, in aviation, we're also in the transportation business. And I want to talk about another transportation system that suffered a tremendous loss over time that really wasn't truly saved in the nick of time. Our railroad system.
Right.
At one point in time, Dave, you could take a train from any town in the United States to almost any other town in the United States. And yeah. Today you can't do that. What happened is that in the late 1940s, our railroad system peaked. Then we started to lose railroads and railroad lines through the 1950s, the 1960s, the 1970s. And by the time we got to the 1980s, where people were saying, you know, gee, our rail system is really contracted. Dave, it was too late. And you had said earlier that once an airport closes, it never comes back. And the same thing applies for a railroad. Once a railroad closes, probably never come back. And what we want to see is we want to see our airports preserved so that they don't go the way of the railroads.
Well, that's a worthy goal. And the purpose of the report was to identify the root causes and develop strategies?
Absolutely. Absolutely. excuse me. We identified the reasons. We identified advocates, specific interested parties. We identified how to put together an action plan. And like any other good aviation project, Dave, the very last thing, we created a checklist.
All right. I like those.
You bet. Now, let me run through the checklist of the, and it's 16 different items, of the 16 different things that have a very strong material effect on why public use airports close.
Okay.
They fall under four general topics real quick. Public funding, economic reasons, community and environmental, and finally infrastructure. Let's start with public funding. Public funding is very important for the preservation of airports, and here's why. When an airport gets public funding, typically speaking, it's required to stay open for for a period of time. For the FAA, typically that number is 20 years. So we want our general aviation airports to continue to accept federal and state funds when state funds are available, so that they have an obligation to stay open, and they don't have the ability to just say, well, we're going to close up shop and sell the property. So keeping our airports federally funded is very important.
So that's like a binding contract.
It's a binding contract, absolutely. Well said. There are economic reasons, and the biggest single economic reason is public versus private ownership. We found that the numbers strongly skew in this way. Private ownership puts any airport at increased risk. Because the private owner, this is private property, so it's appropriate for the private owner to make his or her own decisions, will be making decisions based on their pocketbook, not necessarily on service to the public. So if we want to preserve an airport, it needs to be under public ownership. So conversion of a private airport, privately owned public use airport, to a publicly owned public use airport is a very, very important way to keep our airports safe, or safer. Another big item with private ownership is generational shift. And we're certainly seeing a lot of that. What we mean by that is, you know, Pops might have started the airport when he came back from either World War II or Korea. And now, you know, the men and women of that greatest generation are passing.
Right.
And in many cases, we don't have a next generation with either the motivation, the skills, the desire to run an airport like Pops did. And oftentimes at generational change time, airport goes up for sale for something other than an airport.
Right.
And that's one thing that puts all privately owned public use airports at risk, is that generational shift. Next item, I'll run through some of these pretty quickly, and these are obvious.
Well, hold on. I need to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And this is Digital Dave. You're listening to EAA Radio.